special number. I'm going to read the announcement quickly at this time. At 5 o'clock, there will be a song service here. And at 6 o'clock p.m., there shall be a preaching service with our Apostle Dwayne Ely. And I have a note down here that says, if you would like to do a special, please let Susie Case know so she can put you in on the schedule. So if there be those that that have a special and have a desire of a special, why be sure and get in touch with her. Yes, honey. Okay, did you ladies hear that, each of you? Okay, am I on now? Okay. Check with my buddy here. He takes care of me. You know, when I was young, I used to read where when they came across the sea and they met here, they would meet on this land and to be taught about Christ, that they had a person go up and down the aisle with a club. And if those men went to sleep, he'd reach over and thump them. And if the women went to sleep, they had a feather and they'd tickle their nose. And I thought, boy, that's something else. You know, what in the world is going on here? And then as I got older, I found out that they paid them to do that so they'd hear the word of the Lord. I don't have a club and I don't have a feather this afternoon. And I wasn't paid to keep you awake. But I know, as I stand before you, the brother that's to stand before you this afternoon and break the word of truth to you, it will behoove you to listen and to take heed. I know that for a fact because I've worked with him. And I know the thing that he teaches is for the welfare of our soul. And so I hope we're not like an old bear that after we eat lunch, we're looking for a shade tree. Let's keep awake and let's hear the word that the Lord has for us this afternoon with our brother and apostle, Smith Brickhouse.
I'm thankful to be here. Michelle has told me my job is to keep everybody awake. So, I don't have a club or a feather, but hopefully you'll be able to hear me. But I'm thankful for the opportunity to be here, to be among you, to be among the body of Christ. One of my most favorite places, if not favorite place. I'd like to thank you for your prayers on my behalf, concerning my health. Blessings of God that you've seen fit and pour out upon me in his healing power. And I am thankful for your prayers, for the work of the gospel, for the ministry, and for our families, for the body of Christ. We're richly blessed. We've gathered together and came out of the world in a reunion, a time to be reunited with those of similar beliefs, a time to separate ourselves and to enjoy the Lord's blessing. We have just celebrated or are in the process of celebrating Thanksgiving, to giving thanks for God for his bountiful blessings upon us as individuals, as a body of Christ, as a nation. And I know that we're all thankful for those blessings. And we're all mindful of the fact that with those blessings come responsibilities. Our responsibility is the gospel of Christ, being his people. That we're called out of the world to do his will, to be his examples, to show forth our good works, to praise him and to give him thanks, to, to use our talents like the young ladies used today and stand up and sing or praise or give testimonies. I was thankful for this morning and for the service that we had, the sweet spirit that was present from the beginning of it to the end of it. It was good for me. It strengthened me. And I'm looking forward to like meetings in the next couple of days. And you know, our time is going to go by fast. We're going to stand here, or somebody's going to stand here in 48 hours or say, and you know, this is the last service. Is it 48 hours? Yeah, I guess about that. And I just hope that we have gleaned from those next 48 hours the things that the Lord has for us to glean. The purpose that we're here, that we're gathered to be among the body of Christ and to be edified by His Spirit. And that we have been prepared to bring that Spirit with us and to be part of that edifying and that goodness in our prayers and our thoughts and our minds and in our conversations one with another. I just had a... This may surprise everybody, I know. But I just had a 50th high school reunion. I had skipped kindergarten, went right into high school. No. you know, it was a reunion of people gathering together after a long time, in this case, 50 years. And you know, I had a good time. I dragged Sue along with me. She saw some of my old friends and some that she'd rather not have me see again. And you know, I enjoyed it. I had a pleasant time. I was thankful to be able to go. Got to see my sisters and the rest of the family while I was back in Milwaukee. And it brought back memories and it brought back emotions. I was surprised. I had a good time in high school. I had a lot of good friends. I was really blessed. I hadn't seen them. They've all gone different ways. It's been a lot of different years. But it's nothing like coming here. Or going to the Missouri reunion, or the Ontario reunion, or where Idaho reunion, wherever you might be. And nobody can compare to coming with the body of Christ. And the experiences we have, and that we share together, and the brotherly love that we have, are to have for each other. And I am thankful, and there's no, you can't express it, I know it, each of us. The joy we have when we have the opportunity to come together. Fellowship, to become spiritually strengthened. I'm going to, and I want us to reflect on those and to think about the time that we have on hand right now, today, what we've gathered for. I've got quite a bit of scripture here. I'd like to have you read along, if you will. I'm going to turn to the 1 Timothy in the 4th chapter. And I'm going to read the 11th through the 15th verse. These things command and teach. Let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, in purity. We're to be the example for each other. We're to hold each other up and strengthen each other. Till I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. We're to give attendance to pay attention to. It tells us in verse 15 to meditate upon things, give thyself wholly unto them, that thy profiting may appear to all. Take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine, continue in them, for in doing this thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee. But I want us did I skip the verse 14? Verse 14 says, neglect not the gift that is given, that is in thee, which was given thee by prophecy with the laying on of hands of the presbytery. That gift of God that he has bestowed upon those that have been baptized and are members of the Church of Christ, his Holy Spirit, and allow that to direct us in our life, to meditate about those things, to allow us to change our very being, our countenance, and our purpose and our demeanor, that we might be good examples, that we might be yield to sound doctrine and continue in those things, that it might be found well with us. And so we have these times that the Lord has provided for us to reflect those things and to come together and to be spiritually charged. I'm going to read in Romans in the 12th chapter. I'm going to read probably all of that chapter. But before I do, I had looked into Barnes' notes, and there were some interesting things talking about the body of Christ. And it goes, and it's talking about some things, and it said that a body united together, constituting one society or one people, mutually dependent, we're dependent on each other, having the same great interest at heart, though to be promoted by us according to our special talents and our opportunities. We all to have the same interest of heart, and we're to promote those things by using the opportunities that we have and the special talents that we might have. There's a reason that all of us are put into the body. There's a reason each one of us are here today, and we have to recognize that and be part of that, and mutually support each other in the purposes that each one of us as individuals are here. So it says, so the welfare of their body is to be promoted by discharging our duties in our appropriate sphere as God has appointed us, according to our talents, according to our callings, according to what the responsibilities Christ has given to us. One body joined to Christ is connected with him as the head, acknowledging that he is our head, that he is our lawgiver, our counselor, our guide, our redeemer, that we are bound to him by especially tender ties of affection, gratitude, and friendship, and united together. So, as the body of Christ, as we think of the body and the different parts, you know, we have to. We're brought to memory here in the readings of the need for us to remember our role, our responsibility. That there are others that are dependent on us, and our example, and our faithful walk, and our testimonies, and our songs, and our talents. That united, helping each other to lifting us up, we might arise above the trials and the tribulations and the sins and those things that separate us from God. And so we have this special opportunity this weekend to rise up to those things and become the people that the Lord wants us to be, and to leave here and go to our separate places, if it's our works or our homes or our schools or our different locals, and bring that enthusiasm and bring that higher level to them, that we might all work for the body, remembering each other's in our prayers and our supplications. In the 12th chapter of Romans, it says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Our individual bodies, our individual activities, the body as a whole, that we present it, a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable. Be not conformed to this world, but be you transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. For I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, and all members are not the same office, so we, being many, are one body in Christ, and every one members one of another, having the gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith. And it goes on and it gives some of those gifts. But we're not to be conformed to this world. We're to be different. We're to present ourselves, our thoughts, our minds, our activities, our families, the body, the church, present them as a living sacrifice to God, holy, acceptable. That's our reasonable service. And we have to be brought to mind. I have to be brought to mind that that's the purpose. That's the purpose. I'm here. That's the purpose. I want to be here for my own edification, and that the body might be stronger and that we might grow together. Verse 9 says, let love be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil. Cleave to that which is good. Be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love and honor, preferring one another. Not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continually instant in prayer. You know, I have to, you know, scriptures tell us to continually to read the scriptures and to remind ourselves of what, you know, what the things we're to be, you know, we're to be kindly affected one to the another in brotherly love. We have to have a purpose in our life to do that. That's, it means we have to change from being prideful and all the things that we are by our natural of selves. Our carnal states, you know, we have to be, it says, be fervent in spirit. We have to seek those things out. We have to be diligent. We have to be proactive, rejoicing in hope. We cannot lose sight of the fact of the hope of eternal life, something beyond this life that is so well that we can't, so beautiful and so marvelous that we can't even define it. And that we should have that desire that each one of us and everyone in our families and all our acquaintances would be able to obtain that just like we want to be attained. And that we would be those examples to that. It says in verse 16, to be of the same mind one to the other. Mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceits. Verse 21 says, be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. A change. We have to be mindful of those things. I want to turn to 1 Peter. Chapter 2. And I'm going to read a couple verses here. Wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envies and all evil speakings, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word, that you may grow thereby. If so be ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious, to whom coming as unto a lively stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious. Ye also, as lively stones, are built up a spiritual house and holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. We're to be. We're to be lively stones. We're to a spiritual house. Where is our spiritual house? Where do we stand? Where is it that we have put our priorities? Where is it that we are focusing on and have placed our mind to? Wherefore also it is contained in the Scripture, behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he that believeth on him shall not be confounded. Unto you, therefore, which believeth, he is precious, but unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner, and a stone of stumbling, and a rock of offense. Even to them which stumble at the word, being disobedient, whereunto also they were appointed. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. We're, as a body of Christ, each of us together, united, are a chosen generation, a chosen people, a similar beliefs. You know, one of the definitions of a generation are those with similar beliefs and similar culture. We have been called out of the world for a holy purpose, his purpose. Not our will be done, but that the Lord's will might be accomplished in our lives, based on us by showing forth our praises to him and to letting our light shine in the sea of darkness and bringing others to his marvelous light. You know, what a wonderful task. What an awesome responsibility, but what a blessing to be part of that. For no sooner have we served than it says that he's already blessed us with the knowledge that we've done right, by his holy presence and his spirit that blesses us with discernment and uplifts us and teaches us and admonishes us and corrects us as a parent to their loved one. So we're to be do these things and to rejoice in them. In the book of Titus, it tells us, and I'm going to talk through some of these. Verse in chapter 2, and starting in verse 1. But speak thou the things which become sound doctrine, that the aged man be sober, grave, temperate, sound in faith and charity and patience. The aged woman likewise, that she be in behavior as becometh holiness, not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things, that they may teach the young woman to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. Young men likewise exhort to be sober-minded, or to be self-controlled in all things, showing thyself a pattern of good works in doctrine, showing uncorruptness, gravity, and sincerity. Sound speech that cannot be condemned, that he that is of the contrary may be ashamed, having no evil thing to say of. We're to be good examples, aren't we? No matter what our age is, no matter what our background is, we're to let the light of the gospel shine. And, you know, the scriptures are full of it, and instructions and exhortations to us to become a different people, to put on Jesus Christ, to lay aside the old man, and to be that new person that Christ wishes us to be. Verse 12, it says, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in the present world, looking for that blessed hope, that glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that we might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. These things speak and exhort and rebuke with all authority. Let no man despise thee. We're to bring to our own minds these things. The need for us to be a different people. The Lord is counting on it. The reason we have been called out of the world to be that light that he desires to be. And we need to meditate upon those things and to think about them. In Exodus, in the 19th chapter, in the 5th verse, he says, "Now therefore, if you will obey my voice indeed and keep my covenant, then ye shall be a peculiar treasure unto me above all people, for to keep the commandments of God." Deuteronomy, in the 14th chapter, 2nd verse, says, "For thou art a holy people unto the Lord thy God, and the Lord hath chosen thee to be a peculiar people unto himself, above all nations that are upon the earth." Again, Deuteronomy 26 says, "And the Lord have avouched thee this day to be his peculiar people, yet he has promised thee, and that thou should keep all his commandments. But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who called you out of darkness into this marvelous light." We're to be the witnesses for Jesus Christ that the Lord desires for us. And I have to be reminded of that. In my weakness, in my slothfulness, in my times that my mind wanders to the things of the world and the and I have to be reminded of it. That's why I need to be able to come to reunions and to services in general and to be above the body of Christ whenever we can be and whenever I can be. And we're here to gather today to be strengthened and uplifted and to remind ourselves and to be admonished that we are his people and to be available and willing to serve. First Corinthians, in the first chapter, tells us that the Lord uses the foolish things and the weak things to accomplish him. It's not that we're at any special talents or any special blessings other than the fact that he has called us out into the world for his purpose. And we have to search those things out to make sure we know what his purpose is. You know, I have quite a few quirks. One of them is I like to read signs different than other people read. It's advertisements, billboards, or where they combine messages and they don't have the grammar right and it looks like they're all running together and everything. Well, you know, and I'm always reading them to Sue and she's, you know, going like this. But, you know, and she doesn't get my humor. But one of the things, it just happened to me when I was coming back with Brian and Dwayne from Africa, and it's not a sign, but as you're in the Amsterdam airport and you're walking on the mechanized walkway, a voice comes out and says, "Mind your step." I did everything that step told me to do. You know, that to me is, how do you mind a step? You know, the step didn't tell me to do anything. And so, you know, it always gets my mind going, you know. And I all the way home and for weeks, I mind your step, you know. And another one, it says, mind the glass, mind the stairs, you know. And, you know, I was supposed to mind my teacher and my mother, you know, and those things. But, you know, not an object like a step or something. Well, anyway. If I had to put a title to the sermon, I would make it, "Mind Your Step, Be Mindful of Where We Are and Where We're Going." And I have some scriptures, but first, I I looked the word up when I got home, and it's been bothering me for 10 years. But, you know, that English, you know, rather than American English, they use terms different than what we do, and they're, of course, proper. And I looked up the word mind in the dictionary, and, you know, had a lot of different meanings, some of which I'm going to read. It's either a noun or it can be used as a verb. In a noun, it's in a human or other conscious being, it's the element, part, substance, or process that reasons, thinks, feels, wills, perceives, judges. Another definition is intellect or understanding. Another one is reason, sanity, or sound mental condition. Another one would be a way of thinking and feeling, disposition, temperament. Another, a state of awareness or remembrance, inclination or desire to be of a mind to listen, or, you know, for instance, a purpose, an intention, or a will. To be mindful of something, or have something in mind. As a verb, to heed, to pay attention, to apply oneself to attend, to look after, to take care of, to tend, to be careful, cautious, to feel concerned at, to care about. We're to mind our step. We're to have all those thoughts, all those actions, all that disposition, temperament, desire in our life to be in step with the Word of God and to be mindful, to watch it, you know, to pay attention, to obey, to take notice, to be careful, wary, to care, feel concerned for, that we would watch our steps to be in the mind of Christ. And I'd like to turn to Philippians. And I want to start in chapter 1 in the 27th verse. Only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ, that whether I come and see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affair, that you stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. And in nothing terrified by your adversaries, which is to them an evident token of perdition, but to you salvation and that of God. For unto you it is given in behalf of Christ not only to believe on him, but also to suffer for his sake, having the same conflict which you saw in me and now here to be in me. So our conversation is to becometh the gospel of Christ. Wherever we are, if we're with Paul or we're with our wife or we're at work or we're at school, you know, to be a good example. Although there will be those around us that will make fun of us or whatever, you know. In chapter 2 it says, if there be therefore any consolation in Christ, any comfort of love, any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercies, fulfill ye my joy, that you be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord and of one mind. Like-minded, bowels of mercy, comfort of love, fellowship of the Spirit. We're to be like-minded. We are not to do, I am going to paraphrase here, but I'm going to go through that chapter, okay, the chapter 2. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, you know, we're to have a humble mind. we're not to think ourselves better than that, not to look at our own things, but to give a care for those around us, that we can mutually support each other and be strong. Verse 5 says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation and took upon him the same as a servant and was made in the likeness of man. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth. Verse 12, it says, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. We're to have that mind be in us as Christ Jesus, a servant, sacrificing even our lives, our purpose, our own self-will. And we only can do that supporting each other. I don't believe that I can do that by myself. I don't believe most of us can do that by ourselves, or any of us. But only together, supporting each other in that endeavor to be Christ-like and allowing the Spirit of Christ to work with us. And to be reminded of us, to not to be self-willed, but to yield and to humble ourselves, to be diligent, you know. But that we watch our step. Verse 14 says, do all things without murmurings and disputations. We're not to be complainers. We're not to be backbiters. We're not to be those that talk evil of others. We're to accept those things that the Lord has given us, rejoice in the blessings that we have, and work on to perfection. You know, the murmuring, the scriptures tells us it's a sin. And if we murmur, you know, it won't be found well with us. And you know, but if we think about it, we all complain some. We all say, woe is me, or why do I have to do that, or why do I have to, you know, worry about, you know, what they did or what they didn't do, you know. But we're to do the things that God tells us to do and to hold each other up in whatever is being done, that he might bless us. You know, our murmurings comes and brings us, if we continue in them, and we allow them among us, you know, it ends up bringing a slothfulness. It ends up as being a careless state, and we end up being disillusioned. We end up separating ourselves from the body and from Jesus Christ and his commandments. And so there's a reason that, you know, it tells us, do things without murmuring, you know, without disputation. Do them because the Lord has told us to do them. Do us because of those things that he has afflicted upon us for our good, for his purpose. That you may be found blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked, perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world. Boy, we've got a tough job. We surely live in that time, as we were reminded of. And the time is at hand that the Lord needs us now more, united and set fast in his purpose, having his mind and being like-minded with him to achieve his goals. Over in chapter 3, I'm going to skip over. Verse 14, it says, I press toward the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Let us therefore, as many as be for perfect, be thus minded. And if any ye be, and if in anything ye be otherwise minded, God will reveal, shall reveal even unto you. Nevertheless, whereto we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule. Let us mind the same things. We're to be thus minded in the high calling of Jesus Christ. Over in chapter 4, it says, therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved and longed for, my joy and crown, so stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved. Verse 3, it says, and I entreat thee also, true yoke fellow, help these women which labored with me in the gospel, with Clement also, and with other my fellow laborers whose names are in the book of life. You know, help one another. Rejoice in the Lord always, it says. Let your moderation be known unto men. Be careful of nothing, and you will be blessed. Time and time again, Paul and in the scriptures in general tell us to be like-minded with Jesus Christ. And we have the need to help each other to be such, and to gain strength from one another, and to draw each other into being of that mind. I don't know if I'm expressing that right. But, I'd like to turn to 1 Peter. I was going to read several, but I'm going to read one verse. Verse 13. Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. We're to gird up the loins of our minds. You know, I'm mindful of having ridden in a car with you, him doing a little jingle that he was, I think he was trying to teach the grandkids, buckle up for safety, buckle up, you know, gird up, you know, gird up, buckle up, straighten up, tighten the belt, pay attention, be of this mind, be sober, have the hope of the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. To have that hope in Jesus Christ, to allow it to be the focus of our life, more so than it is. You know, I know that we're all that way to some extent, but I know that I fall far short of what these scriptures have been saying and its purposes and the mindset that I'm to have and the mindset that we're, you know, to have as a people, as a body, and we need each other's support to lift ourselves up and to shape us into the being the people that the Lord wants us to be. And you know, that's my purpose today is to bring these things to mind, that we have, you know, the day, the reunion here, this time that we have, the prayer services, the testimonies, the communion service, the preaching service, the dinners, the social time that we have, to be of this mind, to use it to draw our attention, to use it to focus and to strengthen us, and to be of the mind of Jesus Christ, that we might be stronger when we leave than when we came, that we might achieve that goal that we had and the purpose why so many have labored for us to be able to be here, and the hospitality and the preparation and the both spiritual and the physical preparations that have gone, that we might not lose those efforts, that we might take full advantage of them, that we might be filled, even filled with that mindset, filled with that spirit that the Lord has promised us and promised for those that come together. Promise to the body. Promise to His chosen people, His peculiar people. Oh, how beautiful are His feet. The blessings of God upon His people that are obedient, that seek His will and that can overcome the things of the world. I'd like to turn to Moroni in the 9th chapter. One verse, 27. Whoop. That's not the right one. Well, it's because I'm in the third book of Nephi. It's unusual. Didn't say the same thing. My son, be faithful in Christ. And may not the things which I have written grieve unto you to weigh you down into the death, but unto Christ lift thee up. But may Christ lift thee up, and may His sufferings and death and the showing of His body unto our fathers, and His mercy and long-suffering and the hope of His glory and of eternal life rest in your mind forever. Now, that's the sentence I was trying to glean out of there. That these thoughts, Christ lift you up, and may His sufferings and His death and the showing of His body unto our fathers and His mercy and long suffering and the hope of His glory, of the hope of eternal life, may rest in our mind forever, that we might not forget the purpose that we have, that we might be found well, that we might have that spiritual strength. Now I want to go to 1 Peter in the 3rd chapter. In verses 8 through 12. Finally, be ye all of one mind, having compassion one of another. Love as brethren, be pitiful, be courteous, not rendering evil for evil, or railing for railing, but contrariwise blessing, knowing that ye are thereunto called, that ye would inherit a blessing. For he that will love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips, that they speak no guile. Let him eschew evil and do good. Let him seek peace and ensure it. For the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and His ears are open unto their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against thee that do evil. We're to be like-minded, having compassion one for another, and love for one for another, and to be humble. In the 10th chapter, Moroni, starting with verse 28, it says, "And awake, and arise from the dust, O daughter of Zion. Yea, and put on thy beautiful garments, O daughter of Zion, and strengthen thy stakes, and enlarge thy borders forever, that thou mayest no more be confounded, that the covenants of the eternal God which he had made unto thee, O house of Israel, may be fulfilled." Calling to us. "Yea, come unto Christ, and be perfected in him, and deny yourselves of all ungodliness. And if you shall deny yourselves of all ungodliness and love God with all your might, mind, and strength, then is his grace sufficient for you, that by his grace you may be perfect in Christ. And if by the grace of God you be perfect in Christ, you can in no wise deny the power of God. And again, if ye by the grace of God are perfect in Christ and deny not his power, then are you sanctified in Christ by the grace of God through the shedding of the blood of Christ, which is the covenant of the Father unto the remission of your sins, that you become holy without spot. And now I bid you all farewell. I soon go to rest in the paradise of God until my spirit and body shall again reunite, and I am brought forth triumphant through the air to meet you before the pleasing bar of the great Jehovah, the eternal judge of both quick and dead. To come unto Christ and be perfected in him. Have the mind of Christ. And I hope we take some time out and meditate upon those things. Allow the Spirit to work with us in the thought of having that mindset. That's Scripture tells us, the natural man is an enemy to God, has been and always will be, unless he yields to the enticings of the Holy Spirit and humbles himself. We, as a people, you and I, have to help each other to obtain that. I need it. We all need it. That we are reminded of our walk in life, the things that we do day to day, our demeanor, our temperament, our thought processes, our desires, our priorities, be in accordance with the Scriptures and with God. Not with man, not with our own self-will, not with our wants, not with, those things that we like, but his will in our life. He'll bless us, and it'll be found well with us. He'll protect us. He will watch over us. He will provide for our needs, whatever they might be, that we might endure, and that we might be found well with us in the last days, and we might have that eternal rest that we so desire. And so we're called. We're called as a people to send that message to the world, to be that example to the world, that they might have that hope that we have. We're called to remind each other of that, and we're called as individuals to repent, to come, be perfected in Christ. I'm thankful for this time that we've had. I hope that I might help us to remind. And, if you're ever in Amsterdam and you're walking down this thing and hear this, mind your step. Be mindful of this. Thank you.